Hi, this is Father David Nix with the Padre Peregrino podcast. Today we're going to be talking about the defacing of Catholic property and what you can do about it. I'm sure most of you have seen the news that it's not only the statues perceived as racist by the left that have been being torn down, but we've even seen statues of abolitionists destroyed. There is graffiti in the Lincoln Memorial. Obviously, the one hailed is the one who ended slavery in this country. And so basically everybody's losing their mind. We're going to talk today about the first of the Catholic statues that we've seen defaced. It's the end of June 2020, and who knows if we're going to see more than that. The Catholic statue that we saw defaced was that of Blessed Junipero Serra in Northern California, and there was an agreement to remove a statue of him in Southern California. So let me tell you a little bit about Blessed Junipero Serra. He was an 18th century Franciscan priest who was born on the island of Mallorca, came to the United States with the Franciscans, rather it was called Mexico back then, and he founded a mission in Baja California, and then he also founded the first nine of the 21 Spanish missions in California. Back then in the 18th century, it was still Mexico. But those range all the way from San Diego to San Francisco. So again, Blessed Junipero Serra was a Franciscan missionary priest who came from Spain to Mexico and established 10 missions. They're very, very stunning missions. If you have a chance to get out there, you should go and see them. This includes the Mission Basilica San Diego de Alcalá, which is in present-day San Diego. You have Mission San Carlo Borromeo, Antonio de Padua, that means Anthony of Padua, San Gabriel Archangel, St. Gabriel the Archangel, San Luis Obispo de Tolosa, which is obviously in San Luis Obispo, California. Several of us actually started something about 8 years ago called Bike for the Unborn, and we took bikes. I brought some college students, and we raised money for the unborn, and we put all of our belongings on our back, jumped on bikes, and we rode from mission to mission and pretty much stayed in California state parks. And then we asked money for like a dollar a mile from people, and we gave all that money, which wasn't very much, to the pro-life groups. But the main thing we did it for was bonding, worshiping in these places that he had set up, and basically a pilgrimage where we were offering up a little bit of penance for the end of abortion on the Bike for the Unborn. But it was a absolutely very, very beautiful route. He established all of those missions 1 day walk from the next one. And so obviously on bikes, we were able to see a little bit more than one every day. Now, there was a little bit of controversy in his life, and I'm going to read you from Wikipedia. Wikipedia is what we can always read from when we want to know what's actually against the saints here. Now, Junipero Serra was beatified by Pope John Paul II on September 25th, 1988. Wikipedia says that Mark A. Knoll, a professor at Wheaton College in Illinois, wrote that Serra's attitude was that missionaries could and should treat their wards like children, including the use of corporal punishment, which was common at the time. Now, the reason I believe this to be irrelevant is because, as I said earlier, the left mob, the leftish mob, is destroying statues of abolitionists, of Abraham Lincoln. So I'm not sure they've actually done their research on this stuff. On the other hand, someone put up on Twitter the location of the bones of Junipero Serra and called people to disinter him and throw his bones into the ocean. So there may be some strategy that particularly hates him. Now, in Southern California, it's a little bit different. You have the mayor of the city of Ventura and the pastor of a Catholic parish out there and the tribal chair of the Native Americans. And this is a letter from the city of Ventura to her people. I'll just read you the bit of the first paragraph. It says, quote, "In the last few days, we have seen a groundswell of support from some members of the community requesting that the city of Ventura remove the statue of Father Junipero Serra from its location near City Hall. To that end, Ventura Mayor Matt LaVere organized a meeting with representatives from the Barbareño Ventureño Band of Missions Indians, the Chumash tribe, and Father Tom of the Mission of San Buenaventura. This meeting resulted in a friendly, collaborative, and honest dialogue where everyone recognized that the time for action is now," close quote. The letter goes on to basically say that they're moving toward a quiet and peaceful removal of the statue of Junipero Serra before the violence and the civil unrest arrives there. At the time of this podcast, I haven't seen the outcome of this, But what's pretty much implied in that letter is that they're going to remove the statue of Junipero Serra because of the pressure of the left before they get to the point of violence. Now, without just going to really facile moralizing on all of this, I want to actually point out that Catholics have been courageous, and not just 1,000 years ago. I want to tell you the story of something that happened here in Denver, Colorado, about 100 years ago. Actually, I'm going to tell you about two locations in Denver and the courageous Catholics that stood up to the leftish mob about 100 years ago. Now, most people don't realize that Colorado was probably second to, I think it was Indiana, second to the presence of the KKK in about the 1920s. In other words, the KKK was very prolific here in Colorado in the 1920s. We have famous places named after Klansmen. I believe Spear Boulevard. I believe Stapleton is. And if you remember, the Klan hated Catholics almost as much as they hated blacks. And at one point, they decided to come against Regis University. It might have been called Regis College back then, but that was a Jesuit university. I believe it was all men, of course, at the time there. And I'm going to tell you what happened when the Jesuits, again, these guys were back then very, very manly guys, when they found out what was going to happen, when they found out what the KKK was going to come against Regis University, up in Northwest Colorado off Federal Boulevard. I'm going to read you from primary sources so you know I'm not making this up. There is a big, maybe 3-foot by 2-foot gold plaque still on Regis University, the Jesuit University, Catholic University here in Denver, Colorado. There is a gold plaque up there, and this is what it says on it. Quote, big font at the top says, "A moment in Regis University history. This portion of the old perimeter wall has been preserved in remembrance of a student stand against the Ku Klux Klan. In the mid-1920s, according to Jesuits here at the time, word filtered to the priests that the KKK was planning a march on Regis with the intent to burn a cross on the lawn. The Jesuits put out a call to students, both boarders and day students, to protect the campus and bring baseball bats. The call was heeded, and Regis students were posted every 5 feet armed with bats. The KKK, which was organizing a few blocks from campus, received word of the student buildup and disbanded without marching on the campus. Later, the Jesuits found out that some of the students were armed with more than baseball bats. Some had brought along pistols." Close quote. Okay, let's look at a few things here. First of all, what's astonishing is that this plaque is still up, even though it had violence involved, or potential violence, and that the students armed themselves with bats and guns. Now, why in the world would they keep up a plaque that actually touted Second Amendment rights? Why would a liberal Jesuit university, now liberal, it wasn't liberal 100 years ago when this happened in 1924, why would the modern Regis University keep up this plaque? The answer is simple. It's because they stood against the KKK, which is racist, which I'm very glad they did. KKK is a horrible organization. So people are willing to overlook the fact that these guys brought not only bats, but also pistols to face off with the KKK who was there. I also find it interesting it was priests who called them to show up. So these guys, these students, these male students at Regis University showed up with bats and pistols. Now let's look at this sentence again. Quote, the KKK, which was organizing a few blocks from campus, received word of the student buildup and disbanded without marching on the campus, close quote. So when a mob gets together and people stand up to them, what do we learn in this big gold plaque at this Regis University campus? That the bad guys disband without marching on the campus. Now, who nowadays would be against those stopping the Klan? Nobody, right? Even though they weren't there to harm blacks, but harm the Catholic land? Maybe. Now people aren't exactly sure, I think, of that. But we have to ask the question, what's more important to stand for? The Catholic faith or one's race? Now, I know that there's probably a few listeners out there would say, well, that's a false dichotomy, Father Nix, in this time of racial unrest and a time when we need great sensitivity. Why would you pit those against each other? The answer is I'm not. What I'm trying to say is that black Catholics, especially those who go to the traditional Latin Mass, black Catholics who go to the traditional Latin Mass would agree with me 100% our Catholic faith is more worth defending than anything on race. Why? Because so much of race is based in this country on a Protestant outlook. Here's what I mean by this. Many of you might remember the Romecast series from last year, and I did that with Oz and Andromeda. I had a great dinner with Oz and his wife in Southeast United States a few days ago. And as I said before, he's from a Caribbean island. He made a really interesting point, and remember, he's an ex-cop. He's trained 65,000 police officers, so we had a really interesting discussion at a long dinner because he's from a Caribbean island, but I didn't know this. He told us that his grandpa was black. One of the points that he made to us when we were at dinner is that his island didn't really care what percentage you were Indian or what percentage you were Spanish or what percentage you were black. I've known him for 5 years. He never told me his grandpa was black because it just didn't really matter. Everyone from his island is just a mix because Catholic settlers married the Indians of Central and South America, and as Oz said himself, Protestant settlers killed the Indians of North America. So, I mean, obviously there's a little bit, there's a bleed over on both of those, so this is a bit of a sweeping generalization, but I'm going to say it again. Protestant settlers killed the Indians of North America. Catholic settlers married the Indians of South America. And my experience of this is very, very similar. I've been to Brazil 3 times, as I think I've said on past podcasts. Most Brazilians are a mix of white, Indian, and African blood. And that's how Catholics mixed for centuries of colonialism. Race didn't matter that much. Nowadays, if you look at mainstream Catholic media and what most priests are putting up on social media, they want to show you how not racist they are. They want to show you that they're against George Floyd's murder. Okay, that's a pretty low bar to be against a cop murdering somebody. Of course we're all against that. You only need 2 brain cells clicking to be against that. That's pretty basic. But here's the bigger problem that I see in the mainstream Catholic media and everyone doubling down on this racial sensitivity is that it's a pretty low bar insofar as it's using a Protestant premise that race is really all that important. I'm going to say that again because I know this might make some people mad. The problem with what the mainstream Catholic media is doing on race right now is their conclusion is fine, that we're all against racism. Of course I'm against racism. I'm 100% against racism. The problem is that there's a premise they're starting with that is Protestant, and that premise is that race is really all that important. Think again what Oz told me. It wasn't until he came to the United States everybody wanted to know which percentage he was Spanish and which percentage he was Indian and which percentage he was African. It just didn't matter that much in these Catholic countries. And so, sorry, but for Catholics, it's not your race as much as your culture that matters. And I know any African Americans that go to the traditional Latin Mass or even go to the Mass in English that really take their faith seriously are going to side with me on this whole thing. I mentioned in my last podcast, I was talking to a black Catholic in California who is a convert to the Catholic faith. He goes to the Mass in English, doesn't go to the traditional Latin Mass. Him and I both agreed George Floyd's death was a horrible murder that was a mortal sin. I believe that race was central to it. He doesn't believe that can actually be proved. We happen to disagree on that fact. But the fact is, and I still do think that race was part of what killed George Floyd. But the fact is this. Him and I agree that being Catholic is more worth defending than your race. And we have to avoid this obsession with race that we're seeing in this country that can be virtue signaling as much as racism. The fact is both are very shallow and both are very evil and both are, sorry to say it, very Protestant. Okay, I want to give you another example of what happened when the Klan was prolific in Denver in the 1920s. This is actually from the Denver Catholic Register in June of 1995. This is a Denver Catholic Register archive from June of 1995, written by a Father James Fisher. Quote, Father William Brennan, rector of St. Thomas Seminary in the mid-1920s, used to tell with glee how the chapel and philosophy wing were built. The old red brick building, which was the only building on the property, faculty, classrooms, dining hall, with the encouragement of Bishop Tien, an expansion drive was launched to meet the needs for the future. The priests of the seminary assisted by going out on Sundays to various parishes to ask for contributions to the building. Those were the years when the Ku Klux Klan controlled the legislature of Colorado and the city council of Denver. The Klan basically was protesting the invasion of national retailers such as JCPenney, who were putting local shops out of business, mostly by hiring at low cost recent arrivals of various ethnic groups. That target was too obvious and protected for the Klan to attack. Since most of the new employees were Italian, Irish, and Russian, the Klan attacked Catholics. They had polished their technique at this point with a lot of practice over the years. So when the priests went out on Sundays to the parishes, hooded Klansmen marched in front, threatened the parishioners. The Klan also published the Rocky Mountain American newspaper during those years. It railed against this new den of vipers, as they call it, which would produce more and more Catholic priests. They're talking about the seminary here. And they had a song which they sang with great bravado. Quote, "I'd rather be a Klansman in a robe of shining white than a Roman Catholic priest in a suit as black as night. For a Klansman is an American, and America is his home, but a Catholic priest owes his allegiance to a Dago Pope in Rome." Close quote. The article in the Denver Catholic continues, "The effect was not what they expected. The Irish, Italians, Russians, and the Knights of Columbus were not to be pushed around. They oversubscribed the quota for the fundraising, and the beautiful chapel, tower, theology wing, and dining hall at St. Thomas were built. Bishop Tian approved of all this." He was actually Bishop of Denver at the time, between 1917 and 1931. So again, the Ku Klux Klan was very prolific in Denver in the 1920s. And if you go to Denver now, I spent 6 years at this seminary. In southeast Denver, there's very few buildings taller than this tower. I don't know if it's 5 stories or 10 stories or 20 stories. I'm not very good at telling stories. But we went up to it a couple times, the very, very top, a couple times in my 6 years at that seminary. And if you look around, there's only a few buildings in southeast Denver that are as big as it. One of them is the big black building on Colorado Boulevard. It used to be called Hotel Giorgio. I can't remember what it's called right now. But this is a huge tower that was built by Bishop Tien and the priests. Why? Precisely because the Klan told him not to. You know, and so this is what I'm trying to tell people out there that you have to really take to heart as a Catholic. When we are threatened by the mob, the answer is not to capitulate. It's neither to run away when they destroy our statues, nor is it to sit down and sign a paper to quote unquote avoid violence just to appease the mob. I might even go so far as to say that capitulation on paper is just as bad as running away when they come to destroy Catholic property. Now, let's look at a few objections to this, because some people might say, you know, Father Nix, I get that you want to, you know, rile people up to be tough on all of this stuff, but it's just not practical anymore. Okay, my first answer to that is the 1920s wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago that people of our country, even right here in Denver, stood up against mob mentality. Catholics had the gumption and the faith. I think this is the main thing. It has nothing to do with race or genetics or gumption. It actually has everything to do with supernatural faith. They had the supernatural faith to say an attack on our church is an attack on Christ himself, almost. It's almost a one-to-one correlation. And this is where we're going to say, over my dead body, literally, over my dead body, are you going to come and destroy a Catholic church or even a Catholic statue? Common objections we might hear. We might hear something like this. Well, we'll put the statue back later, maybe the statue of Blessed Junipero Serra. We'll put the statue back later when our country's not at a boiling point. The problem with this argument is I think we all know very well that day's not going to come. We're not looking at a point where the leftist mob that is moving against everything of order in this country is ever going to allow this again. Just go and read history. We are either at the point of a revolution that has Marxism all over it or a civil war. I put on Twitter last night that Trump is in a very difficult spot because if he does nothing against these people destroying statues, not just Catholic statues, but even secular statues, even statues of abolitionists, if Trump does nothing, we're essentially in a state of anarchy. However, if Trump opens fire, we're essentially in a state of civil war. Another argument that people might say, they might say to me, well, Father Nix, I understand that it's fine for a bunch of immigrants in the 1920s to stand against the Ku Klux Klan, but people who have legitimate complaints against race right now maybe we should not defend these statues, because what our country really needs right now is peace. We really need peace at all costs. The problem with this argument is that the notion that we will ever get peace at all costs with a violent mob has never been proved in history. Anytime there's capitulation with a violent mob, we lose. Tucker Carlson was talking the other day about when there was race riots at one of the Catholic or California universities, I think it was the 70s, and every single leader at this university, it may have been Berkeley, stood down. Well, all of a sudden, the president elected was a Japanese man, a kind of a small, eccentric Japanese man. He walked in the middle of the student union and ripped down the speakers for this violent group, and they attacked him. But they eventually disbanded, and he got made president. He brought order back to this university, and he ended up becoming part of the California Senate. By the way, Junipero Serra, there's actually a book by Ignatius Press called The Man Who Founded California. That's quite a compliment, The Man Who Founded California. And I think it's in the capital. Every state, the capital of the United States in Washington, D.C., has a statue of one or two people from every state that were central to its foundation and its people. And one of those two for the state of California is Junipero Serra. So this man has been honored as the one who brought civilization to California, who brought Christianity to California by even secular agents of this country. So this whole thing of people taking it down, this is just the beginning, folks. This is just the beginning. And if you say, well, I'm gonna do this so that there's peace right now, you don't realize you are cracking the door open for every Catholic church to potentially, not necessarily, but to potentially be destroyed simply because it's the target of a mob that feels offended at us. Here's another objection we might hear. We might hear, does a statue matter as much as avoiding violence? Shouldn't we just quietly remove the statue and agree that avoiding violence is more important? I'm going to answer with a Babylon Bee parody that I saw the other day. It says, In Braveheart re-release, William Wallace just tells the Scottish to stay home, stay safe. In Braveheart re-release, William Wallace just tells the Scottish to stay home, stay safe. Obviously, that's a joke. What he's trying to say is that if William Wallace had thought that he was going to defend the people of Scotland by just telling them to stay home and stay safe, the fact is they would never get to stay home and stay safe. Why not? Because the British would have come and taken them anyway. This is our one chance to stay and fight. Now, of course, I'm not saying fight those who are fighting racism. I'm not saying come out with guns and shoot people who are taking down our statues, even if they're whiny Antifa people or whatever. But we peacefully place ourselves between us and those statues. We peacefully place ourselves between us and those tabernacles. We peacefully lock arms, just like we saw at that cathedral in Argentina when all the feminists came, took their bras off and were screaming. We saw those heroic men join arms and not let those crazy screaming feminists who took their shirts off into that cathedral. This is what we need right now. And I'll put my money where my mouth is. Anyone who is facing mob violence on this whole thing, I don't care what color you are, if you are a Catholic and they're going to come against you, I don't care if you're black, red, yellow, white, whatever you are, we know that the mob is coming against the Catholic Church, and I will stand with you. You don't have to pay me anything. Just pay my plane flight and get me a clean place to sleep. I'll come up and stand with you, because I don't think we're going to see the end of people coming against Catholic churches. Newt Gingrich said, quote, "The ignorant mob defaces the Lincoln Memorial. In the name of supposedly fighting racism, they routinely defame the president who fought a civil war, issued the Emancipation Proclamation, and fought for the constitutional amendments which codified freedom for African Americans," close quote. So I'm not saying it's Catholics against the racists. I'm saying it's Catholics against the leftish mob. We can now see that we're not facing a group of people who want to fight racism. We are facing a group of people that want to destroy our country. We're facing a group of people that want to destroy the Catholic Church. It wasn't that long ago that we had courageous Catholics in this country I'm going to read you that plaque that's at Regis University here in Denver again, just part of it. Quote, the Jesuits put out a call to students, both boarders and day students, to protect the campus and bring baseball bats. The call was heeded, and Regis students were posted every 5 feet armed with bats. The KKK, which was organizing a few blocks from campus, received word of the student buildup and disbanded without marching on the campus. Later, the Jesuits found that some of the students were armed and with more than baseball bats. Some had brought pistols. So look at what's happened in California. We have let the government close our churches. Now we're letting the leftist mob that is being ignored by liberal mayors and being ignored by liberal governors come and destroy Catholic property. And we're sitting down and signing pieces of paper that we will hide our statues in shame simply to prevent the mob from coming. Guess what the mob does when they see this much cowardice? They gain courage and they're going to come against us. Now, is this a rah-rah podcast? Yeah, it is. But the problem is many of you are going to talk tough, but when the day comes, you're still going to bail. Priests blame bishops that their hands are tied, and bishops blame the government that lay folks running the government have their own hands tied, and then the lay people blame their priests that they're cowardly and that the lay people's hands are tied. Do you see how it's always someone else's fault that we have no courageous Catholics? Many, many Catholics today who are traditionalists, they talk a big game, and then as soon as they have, say, at work to correct someone who's misused the holy name of Jesus, they put their tail between their legs, or they plan on doing something pro-life, and something just comes up. Or they say, oh, if I had been there with the mob, between the mob and the Blessed Junipero Serra statue, I would have done something. No, most of you wouldn't. So here's what you got to do. Maybe make not a vow, but make a pledge to Our Lady today that you will do the courageous thing for her son, even if you're the only one left standing. Tell Mary that you will defend a statue of her from getting destroyed, even if you're abandoned by all your friends, and even if you're abandoned by your parish priest, and even if you're abandoned by your family. I'll stand with you on this. Let me know, and I'll come out. But we have to make a decision today. Are we going to let the liberal mob come and destroy our Catholic churches? Make a decision today. I'm not saying get violent, but make a decision today if you are going to put your body between the Son of God and the tabernacle and the mob that may one day be coming for it. It may not happen, but decide today who you serve. Decide today how courageous will be. Decide today if you will stand for the faith, even when nobody else does around you. God bless you and keep you.